I'm trying to get to here is, as social media is becoming more and more popular in today's world, we as Christians should be taking advantage of this golden opportunity to spread the gospel of Christ. Well, as social media can be used for very good things, it can also be used for very bad things as well. In Luke 14, verses 13, it states, When the devil had finished every temptation, he left him until an opportune time. The devil is hiding in every single corner of this world, seeking to destroy us. This, too, includes social media. However, there are ways to avoid these sins. Why, for one, being careful what the eye sees, Matthew 6, 22-23 states, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? 2, being careful of what you hear, Philippians 4, 8-9 states, finally, brethren, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Thirdly, being careful of what we say, James 3, 8-10 states, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of poison. With it we can bless our God and Father, and with it we can curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. As we can see all the ways to avoid the bad on social media, then we are really able to see and do the good things on social media. One being encouraging fellow brethren, Hebrews 10:23 states, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Also, shining our Christian light. Matthew 5:16 states, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. As I can list many more good works that can be done on social media, the most important one is to spread the gospel of Christ. Matthew 28:19 states, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, a couple months ago, I was on the social media platform with one of my friends. We'll just call him Philip. We were talking about some random things until I brought up the conversation about the Bible and the church. Well, apparently he was very interested in that. So from there on, we started having online Bible studies until eventually I invited him to come to church with me. And weeks went by, and he started to come to church every single week, and eventually he started to encourage others to come with him. The moral of that story is to, with me just using one simple social media platform, it may have brought in a couple souls to Jesus Christ. Imagine if every single one of us in this room did that. This year's Lives to Leaders theme is to not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Romans 1:16. Today we can reach many more people way quicker than anybody in history. We should not be ashamed nor hesitant to do so. We as Christians have one main mission in life, and that is to go to heaven and take others with us. As in 2 Timothy 1:8-12 states, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share with me the things and the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which has been given to us in Jesus Christ before time began. Now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know who I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed him to until that day. Thank you all for your attention.
Sixty-3% of Americans claim to be Christian, and of that 63%, only 1.5 claim to attend the Church of Christ, which means out of 332 million Americans, only about 3 million attend the Church of Christ. The fact is, wherever we go to work, school, wherever it might be, there are going to be people who don't follow the Word of God and who don't want to have anything to do with God, and we need to be able to set a good Christian example to them. It'll be very tempting to go with the crowd and fit in with society, but we need to be a good Christian example in the world and not be ashamed to do the right thing. One verse that is a perfect example of this is Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. This is saying that we should not be ashamed of God, who gives us the opportunity to everyone who is willing to follow him in the way that he tells us to. Now, just because he gives us this opportunity, it doesn't mean that we have a guaranteed spot in heaven. We have to be able to follow his word and do what he commands us and resist the devil's temptation. We need to be, which is all around us in the world today. The devil's temptations are all around us in the world today in ways we might not even think of. The world participates in sinful actions so often that you stand out if you don't participate. Us as humans don't often enjoy being the outlier in any kind of situation, but you need to be able to make yourself be uncomfortable for just a few seconds or minutes, whatever it may be, to be able to be in heaven with God. That may be not going to that party with your friends or going anywhere it might be that the devil's temptations are. We need to be able to separate ourselves from that. One scripture that supports this is 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful and will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also made the way of escape. You may be able to bear it. This is saying God will not allow any temptation to come to us that we cannot resist. If you are tempted in any way, it is possible to take another path, just as Jesus did in Matthew 4, whenever the devil was tempting him in the desert after he was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus was able to resist the devil's temptations and do what was right, even though he was, I imagine, really hungry after not eating for 40 days. And that's a perfect example of what we need to be able to do. We need to be able to trust that if we take the right path away from temptation, God will have a plan for us. No matter how much we fall into temptation, God still loves us. As long as we strive to do the right thing and go away from temptation, we will someday be with God in heaven for eternity. If we follow God's word and devote our lives to it, we will get the greatest reward ever of all, which is eternity with God, our Father. One scripture that is an amazing example of this is Matthew 5:12. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for it is great, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This scripture is saying that the reward for following and devoting our lives to God is so great that we should be worth dying or being persecuted to make it to heaven. Thank you.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. So Paul is writing here to the Roman Christians who are living in Rome. So what is the gospel of Christ Paul is writing about, and how does one live it out? Well, the gospel is most commonly referred to as the written accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. However, these accounts are being written as Paul is spreading the gospel throughout the Roman Empire. So what is the true gospel of Christ he is writing about? Well, the word that was translated into Greek from English means the good news. So the gospel is meaning that it is the good news that Christ brings to all, that there is a way to salvation. And as Paul states, it is the power of God that gives everyone who believes salvation. But how one follows the gospel is the true way to salvation. The gospel, being the words of Jesus, has put forth a plan of salvation, and it has been simplified into six main steps. First, one must hear the gospel as instructed by Christ in John 6:45, when it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Only by hearing does one must believe in the gospel of Christ, written in Mark 16:16, where it is written, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. Only by hearing and believing and by believing as one instructed in Luke 13:3, to repent of their sins before God. Likewise with repenting, we are commanded to and by Christ to confess his name before men. In Matthew 10:32, Matthew writes, "Therefore, whoever confesses before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven," Jesus states. When we are commanded, we are commanded to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of our sins, and to be added to his eternal kingdom in heaven, in Acts 2:38, as Peter is preaching, where he writes, "Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Finally, one must remain faithful in the gospel of Christ. In Revelation 2:10, John writes, "Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." And by doing all of these things, God has added us into his kingdom. So, how are the Christians that Paul is writing to in Rome living out the gospel? Well, Paul wrote to the church in Rome to not be ashamed of the gospel. And during the Roman Empire's reign, approximately 100,000 Christians were martyred and persecuted. But they continued to follow the gospel of Christ and to not be ashamed. Jesus spoke about this during the Roman Empire. He explained that if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. We see examples of Christians being persecuted in the early church, as Stephen was the first martyred Christian, and Paul and Silas were thrown into prison for their faith. We face temptations nowadays, too. They were scared as anyone would be, and even Peter in Matthew 26:69-75 would famously deny Christ 3 times before realizing his faults. However, there were strong and faithful Christians, as there are now, who continue to not be ashamed of the gospel and what we should strive to be like. So, how are Christians today challenged, and how we stay grounded in our faith? Just like the Christians then, we are challenged to remain faithful in the gospel. Maybe not in the same manner as the Christians in the Roman Empire, but we continue to face temptations of our own. We live in a society that has many false doctrines and likes to spread a false truth. And they continue to look down on Christians, believing that we are just trying to force our beliefs onto them. We know this isn't true, and that we are only trying to save them from hell. So, we are instructed by God in 1 Corinthians 4:2 to remain faithful to those who have given us their trust. God has given us his trust by giving us free will. By giving us free will, he is expecting us to serve him and love him. And I believe that is what most of us are striving to do. So I have one question to ask. Are you not ashamed of the gospel? If you're listening to this speech, I can make an educated guess that most of you are living the type of life God has intended for you. Thank you for your time.
Well, somehow I've got to follow that and try to give an invitation. I do thank you for your kind attention for these young men. And we often get discouraged just by general society, but I'm of the belief the church is in good hands. We've got people that's still active in the church and people that are still wanting the best for the church. And I thank you for your attention for these young people tonight. A couple things that about LAS, the leaders, when they go up next weekend, they will not have a microphone. They're not in a room this large, but most of the rooms are a pretty good size. But they've got to be able to project their voice enough to be able to hear back toward the back of the room. And they do not have a microphone, so that adds a little bit more pressure to them. There's a bunch of nice, forgiving faces in there, and they're up there speaking to people they've never met before. So it is a little nerve-wracking for them. So this is good for them to get it over with one time before they go next weekend, and be able to do it in a public setting and get some feedback from some good people that do speeches for a lot. I did want to take for just a second, introduce the Qualls family. The Qualls family comes from North Hamilton. I know you heard Logan lead a song, and they're going to be going to LAS with us this year, and Logan's going to be doing a song. So I would ask you to get to know the Qualls family before they leave. I think that's all the announcements I had about LADS. The invitation song will be in 150 if you're using a songbook. The theme of LADS Leaders is, you've heard read at least three times for you and you're reading this afternoon, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek." Romans 1:16. I want us to focus just a second on that word salvation as we close with an invitation. Let's look at the word salvation. Deliverance or healing from the power of sin. Deliverance or healing from the power of sin. Also, was a little side note, redemption. Ephesians 2:8-9 says that by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, but it's a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Your salvation and my salvation is a gift through God. We've been given that gift this afternoon, the opportunity to receive salvation. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. We want to look at the story of Zacchaeus and as we focus on the word salvation. Luke 19, and we're going to read the first 10 verses. Luke 19, starting at verse 1. "Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector." He wasn't just a tax collector, but he was the chief tax collector. "And he was rich, and he sought to see who Jesus was. But he could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up in the sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house.'" We all know that tax collectors will look down on. And Jesus is going to go stay at the house of a tax collector. "So he made haste," and pick it up in verse 6. "So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, 'He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner.' Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from one by false accusation, I restore it fourfold.' And Jesus said to him, 'Today, look at this word, salvation has came to this house, because he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost.'" And that last line is kind of Jesus' mission, and that should also be our mission. "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost." If you have not received that salvation, there's no better time than the present. We're not guaranteed any other time than the present. If you've not received that salvation, that redemption, or that deliverance from sin, a song has been selected this afternoon for your hearing. If there's things that you don't understand about your salvation, by all means, please don't leave the building till somebody gives you an answer. If we can help you in any way, please come as we stand and sing the song.